Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Brady falls to an E, and that'll do it.
The dynasty continues.
Dale Arnold.
Brady's pass to Edelman.
Caught in strike 25 by Edelman.
And Edelman slips through a tackle.
It goes to Edelman, 45. It goes to Edelman. Julian Edelman.
Most valuable player, Julian Edelman.
Rich Keith. Atlanta! Dale and Keith.
I am honored to say for the sixth time, we are all Patriots. And once again, the Patriots are world champions.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, you know what happens when you stay up too late and you party too hard, Steve Tiasi?
Yeah, I've done that once or twice.
You know what happens.
Yeah, you know what happens. Hey, it was a big win.
It was a huge win. I don't blame him at all.
Right.
I don't blame him at all.
Throw down. How many shutouts do the Bruins have?
You beat the Capitals. They never beat the Capitals.
1-0 was
They never beat the Capitals.
And granted, it was a low-scoring game.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, all the reasons to go party and enjoy.
So, Dale Arnold is not here today. The truth is, could not be sicker.
Oh.
Rossi, you saw him today. He actually came in today.
I have not seen him. He went with Wiggy to the shake house and never made it back from Atlanta.
No, that could be true, too. Like, he was sick in Atlanta, but he was able to fight through it. He is so sick that you can't even hear him. Like, you can't hear. He has everything. Everything is wrong with him.
You would catch it just by listening to him.
He came in. He's like, guys, I don't feel very well. I'm like, please get away from me. He has an ear problem. I'm not joking.
Right.
Ear, throat, eye, nose. I mean, it's everything. Right. So
sounds
he
like
is not here
sounds
today.
Like some horse disease or something.
Yes,
you know?
It does not sound good.
And you know what? God bless you for coming in. But
he tried.
Yeah.
And Steve is a quick turnaround for you. You were on the post game show.
I was
celebrating another Super Bowl victory for the Patriots in a bizarre game,
right?
For a number of reasons, but 13-3, which is an NFL record or a Super Bowl record, the lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time, 13-3, with two of the best offenses in football this year, in which offense was through the roof, and here they are winning yet another Super Bowl. Really unbelievable.
Who wasn't expecting the exact same thing you saw in the AFC Championship game? Everybody was sitting there, okay, now it's the second half. They're going to open it up just like we saw in Kansas City, and it's going to be a shootout, and the Patriots should have scored more points when they had the opportunity in the first half. That was the basic thinking at that point. Nobody understood that it was going to be something where both defenses played well.
Patriots played very well.
But even with the defenses playing well, those offenses should have had an opportunity to
score more points. I kind of think a lot of it was the offenses were pretty bad, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you do give credit to the defenses, and they were forcing all these punts. But when I think of great defensive performances, I think of more turnovers.
Yes.
I think of more sacks. Yep. And this was a game where we saw 14 punts.
Right.
Johnny Hecker, great weapon. We all know he's a great weapon.
Great weapon.
Punted 9 times, including a record. The longest punt ever, which they were like joking about in the broadcast booth, because at that point, that was the most exciting play of the game.
Right.
65-yard punt by Hecker. Ryan Allen had 5 punts. A bunch of them really, really great, pinning them inside the 10.
Yeah.
Yep. So Slater did a nice job. At one point in the game, in all seriousness, the MVP candidates for the Patriots were Matthew Slater and Ryan Allen. They were on the list.
Yep.
I was like, what are we watching right now?
I know. And the absolutely polar opposite of last year.
Yeah.
There was one punt last year.
Right.
One.
Exactly.
I don't think Ryan Allen punted, right?
Ryan Allen did not punt. I think there was one punt in the entire game, because that was the only play Malcolm Butler played in.
Right.
There was one punt in the entire game. We had 14.
8 punts in a row. 8 drives resulting in a punt.
That was great when they put up the graphic and Romo just started circling punt, punt, punt. And he's like, just so you're not clear, 8 straight punts. That's why on the one hand you're like, the defense did do a great job on that, but it was also, like for me, I know this is a topic we can get into, and I want to celebrate the Patriots, the game, the whole season, all of that throughout the day, yep. And you can join us, 617-779-7937. But another kind of spin-off topic of it is, like, is that the kind of game you like to watch? I mean, to me, the Patriots are in it, and it's a close game, so you're invested. You're going to be on the edge of your seat no matter what.
Right.
But from the outside, that's not, I know you're a defensive guy, so maybe you think differently, but that's not for me.
No, but I'm with you when it comes to defense. And I think I'll give the Patriots defense a little more credit, and obviously the game plan a lot of credit. They did have four sacks. They did have an interception. They did were tough on third down. They did a lot of very, very good defensive basically standards that you want. Third down, three and outs, you know, created pressure on the quarterback.
Secondary closed really well on receivers. Yes, we saw it time and time again. They did a great job.
You're right. It was not and you have to chalk up some of that to Goff being not ready for prime time.
Yeah,
you have to,
yeah.
And I'm not just going to say Goff. I'm going to say that coaching staff.
McVay. Yeah, McVay was not prepared.
Right.
He really wasn't. And he admitted so in the post game. You know, he didn't make any excuses. But those two guys, and all week that was sort of a thought. You know, Brady couldn't possibly have more experience. Belichick couldn't possibly have more. Goff and McVay couldn't have less. But my counter all week was, and I still picked the Patriots, but my counter was, well, Nick Foles and Doug Peterson didn't exactly come in with all these Super Bowl appearances.
Right.
And they were able to put up over 40 points and have a great performance.
They had a different approach. Philadelphia understood that, and that was a better Patriot. I mean, excuse me, that Patriots team was considered better going into that game. If you look at what people thought about this Patriots team this year as opposed to last year's team, last year's team looked better, you know, just going in. But Philadelphia came out and knew, they understood instinctively that they were going to have to do something special to beat the Patriots. They couldn't just sit there and try to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, who was killing it all year, with Bill Belichick, who's the best coach in the history of the world. You know, so they came out doing some crazy things.
The plays. Foles was aggressive. The play calling was aggressive. Right, all that.
You didn't see any of that.
Rams, not even a little bit.
Dull.
Not even a little bit.
Dull.
Another side topic for today, Todd Gurley. Like, that was bizarre. But at least with this one, I know a lot of people last night were comparing it to Malcolm Butler. I don't, because you saw this actually coming. Malcolm Butler played in every single defensive snap the 2 games prior to the Super Bowl a year ago.
But him and his teammates saw it coming during the week, though. Nobody else
did. On that one they did.
Yes.
But I'm saying with Gurley, we saw it in the NFC Championship game. If you watch that, you're saying, well, why is C.J. Anderson getting all the carries? And then they kept going to the sideline, and Tracy Wolfson saying, it's not injury-related. His knee is fine.
Isn't
it.
They're lying. Because I heard the same thing. I heard it way too many times between the NFC Championship game and this game. They're lying, because the only alternative to them not lying is that they're stupid.
Yeah.
Right?
Is this a possibility? Is Todd Gurley kind of mentally not with it for some reason? Is he not? I don't know. It sounds dumb even saying it. But like, what other reason could there be?
I don't know.
Because he was the best running back in football for 14 weeks.
He was in the conversation for MVP.
Right.
You know, it was
hurts his knee, out for 2 weeks, so he misses 2 weeks. Then he's out for another week, and then he plays in the game.
Right.
He had a pretty good game in the divisional round, but he was still splitting carries.
Right.
And then the NFC Championship game, it was all C.J. Anderson.
Right.
Then you get another week off, and then he did get more carries than C.J. Anderson.
He did.
He had 10 carries for 35 yards.
Yep.
And he had one catch for -1 yard.
Right.
So just really nothing going there with Todd Gurley.
But the insistence that he's hurt, I mean that he wasn't hurt, was really strange. Because first off, during the NFC Championship game, you saw him on the sidelines trying to stretch this or move that, or, you know, there was something wrong with him. Insisting that he was healthy kind of makes you look stupid. Because you,
like, what is it? What is going on
there?
Something's up. So maybe, you know, maybe it'll get fleshed out in the offseason.
Let me give you my air quotes, all due respect to C.J. Anderson. All right.
Yeah. I was getting so annoyed with him.
Right. I mean,
looks like a toad.
I might have a slightly larger belly than he does, but I'm not wearing a tight shirt.
I'm not wearing
a tight shirt to show it off. Right. That's when I get the baggy shirts out.
CJ's proud of it. He's out there.
He's like, the only thing he's missing is a six pack and a cigarette. You know, just like, yeah, I'm coming here playing football.
Not the ab six pack either.
A six pack of Bud and not Bud Light.
Just some Bruce. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And a cigarette, like, yeah, I'll play.
Yeah, sure. I'll take a couple snaps. I'll take a couple carries, Jared, if that's what you need. Right. So the game starts, Steve, and here we go. Patriots get the ball, which I was happy with. The Rams won the toss, but they defer. A lot of teams defer. But the Patriots got the ball to start the Chargers game. They got the ball to start the Chiefs game. I was glad that they got the ball to start the game. I was saying, here we go. Similar recipe as those games. Let's go for it. Brady throws a pick.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, man. Like, could this be? They've gotten off to some bad game. They have never scored a touchdown.
I know.
With Brady in the first quarter in the Super Bowl. Isn't that crazy?
Right. That is crazy. And
I think it's three total points, too.
It is. One field goal. And that was that? I don't even know if that was Vinatieri or.
No, it was Gostkowski last year against the Eagles.
Yeah.
So prior to that, so nine Super Bowls, three first quarter points, and obviously six wins.
Yeah.
But they start out with the pick, and because they were running the ball nicely. Like they're moving the ball down the field, and you're like, here we go. They got something going. Could be another thing. Sony Michel, first play of the game, 13 yards. You're like, nice. Right. Like this is the same recipe.
Yep. We're about to see a 6-7-8 minute drive, you know, and keep the ball. Keeping the ball out of the hands of that high-powered, there go my air quotes again, high-powered offense.
High-powered. Oh, I thought they were high-powered as well.
Yeah.
It is amazing that the Rams, the most talked about regular season game was Rams-Chiefs, 54-51. Everyone's like, the league is burning down. Like, the defense doesn't exist anymore. Yep. The same team scores 3 points in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It is remarkable. But
those two same teams were shut out in the first half of the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game.
It was the crazy ups and downs that the offense has had in this NFL season is remarkable. But
is that the question, though? Is this another one of those famous Bill Belichick ridiculously good defensive game plans, or is it just that we thought a little too much of what the Rams were offensively? Jared Goff. For the most part.
Good question, because I am not a big Jared Goff guy, and it was pretty split on Radio Row. We were asking people, you know, is he a top 10 quarterback, or does he just happen to be with a really good offensive-minded coach surrounded by Cooks and, you know, Robert Woods and Todd Gurley, and until he got hurt, Cooper Kupp? Like, does he just have a lot of great players around him? I think it's more that. I'm not going to write the guy off after just, you know, one bad Super Bowl performance. He was still in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But yeah, I think they didn't make the right adjustments at all. They were bad. I do want to say when Brady threw the pick, it ended up being kind of a theme of the game. Is for as great as Brady is and how he has seen everything. Romo even mentioned this on the broadcast. Wade Phillips' defense did a pretty good job of switching up man and zone, and Brady didn't seem to know what was what. And every time he threw to Hogan, he was just blanket. Like, Hogan was never open in the game.
Right, right.
And including the pick.
It seemed like you saw a little bit more of him rushing the ball than you did in the last two games, or actually three or four games. It seemed like there was a couple times he got rid of the ball with phantom pressure.
Yeah.
Maybe anticipating a little bit more pressure. So I agree with you on that point. He didn't look near as good as he did against the Chargers or the Chiefs.
Right.
But still, I mean, the other parts which we don't see a lot of, and unless the sounds turn way up, the way he controlled the offense, the way he controlled the running game, the way he controlled the short passing game, that was fantastic. The throwing, the actual physical throwing of the ball, not his best effort.
No,
certainly not in the Super Bowl.
No, definitely we've definitely seen him play a whole lot better.
And yet it was his largest margin of victory in all six wins.
That's true. Right, exactly. They scored 13 points, and it's a blowout compared to other Super Bowls.
Exactly.
I mean, the whole season, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It was an improbable run. I mean, they were 11-5, which, again, is great for most teams, but for Patriots standards, that's below average. That's not what they normally do.
They weren't engendering a whole lot of confidence.
No.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were, myself included, were, you know, this doesn't look like your typical, I'm kicking the door down to walk into the playoffs Patriots team.
Not at all. So now you go to the first drive for the Rams, and they also had said in the pregame, this is going to be a big Todd Gurley game. Was it? I think it was Tracy Wolfson again on the sideline. Talked to Sean McVay. What was the line? It was something like, Todd Gurley's going to get a lot of action, and he's going for the MVP of the game. And you're like, all right, well, we'll see. He gets the first carry of the game, stuffed for 2 yards. The next play, I thought this was, or maybe it was the play after that. This was the most important play for me, I think, early on, and it reminded me of the game 17 years ago when the Patriots played the Rams. It was a rollout for Jared Goff, and they were trying to, you know, get the defense kind of confused a little bit, and it looked like Josh Reynolds was going to kind of release late, and he was kind of right around the line of scrimmage, and Kyle Van Noy just chucked him to the ground, just stuffed him to the ground, and then ran after Jared Goff, and he looked faster than he's ever looked. Van Noy did.
Third and two, and they moved the chains. All kinds of time for Goff, who's now flushed out, and he is walked to his knees by Van Noy.
That was Willie McGinnis. That was Roman Pfeiffer. Like, that was Patriots defense from 01, 03, 04. That's what that looked like.
You're right. The first thought that came to mind was, wow, he accelerated quick.
I mean,
he came off that and accelerated fast. And without, that didn't give Goff a chance to dump the ball over. Not that there was anybody there.
Like, that could not have been better. Like, that was one of those plays, because usually the whole idea of that is you sort of put the linebacker in a bind. You're like, all right, either stay and cover this guy, right, or you got to come after me.
And they completed a pass like that later in the game.
They did.
Where two guys actually came up
to get to
Goff.
But so when one guy takes out two is insane. Like, he just chucks him to the ground, and Reynolds is just on his ass, and then he sprints after Goff. And I was like, that looks like it's going to be a physical defense tonight. Like, those guys seemed locked in. Van Noy played great. Dante Hightower played great.
Dante Hightower, talk about looking fast.
Yeah.
Dante Hightower looked faster than what we've been used to over the past, four, five, six months.
Yeah, was that the turf down there or what? Hightower did look quick. Like, those guys, Hightower
and Van Noy, turf.
All season long, didn't we say, or I said, the Patriots linebackers aren't fast. So, like, what's one of their needs? Speed at linebacker.
Right.
Well, those guys were shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, they were.
Yesterday.
Yeah, they were.
They were great. Now, one play Hightower probably would have wanted to have back. If you start the third quarter, it was the Rams' first possession. Patriots are only up 3-0. Jared Goff drops back, slings the ball, hits Hightower in the midst.
Yep.
If he picks that off, that's a pretty significant play. He can't, I mean, not all linebackers make that play, but that would have been kind of a real swing. But then, so second possession for the Patriots, missed field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, if every house in New England was mic'd up, what people were saying about Steven Gostkowski at that point, and had this game not gone a different direction, I think Gostkowski would have been run out of town.
It would absolutely. I'm not talking, you know, torches and pitchforks. But there would have been a response and a half to that, too.
I mean,
and
man.
And even more, the last field goal that snuck in on the left side.
He was making you squirm, wasn't he?
I was so happy for him when that went in. I was like, oh, because I'm sitting there. Oh.
But think about it. I mean, so the Super Bowl, something is up with the Super Bowl and Gostkowski. Last year against Philadelphia, he missed a field goal and an extra point. The year against Atlanta, he missed an extra point. You go back to the Denver AFC Championship game in Denver when they lost 28-18. He missed an extra point. So Gostkowski is a good kicker. Like, he is.
Right.
But when you're the highest paid kicker, I gotta have more confidence in you. Like, that was, and you're right, he made two more field goals, and in a game like this, they were wildly important.
Yep.
But I don't know. That's tough. And he's a free agent, I believe, right? We can look that up, but I believe he's a free agent. That's going to be an interesting one. But so that's the game. So you start out, interception, missed field goal are the first two possessions for the Patriots. Then they punt. And then finally, on their fourth possession, they kick a field goal. Now, later on, they ended up turning it over on downs late in the first half. They go for it on fourth down. So there's a 1:13 left, 4th and 1 at the Rams' 32-yard line. They end up trying to complete a pass to Gronk. What did you think of that decision to go for it?
I wasn't. I didn't. when you're talking about what would have been, about 50 yard?
It would have been, I had it written down, 49, I want to say. It was a 49-yard field goal. Fourth and one, two. I think they listed it at fourth and one. To me, I would have gone for it, too. Maybe you run a different play.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going for it, especially he was one for two at that point, kicking field goals in the half.
Yeah,
I'm probably
50-yard field goal. Yeah, I really did. You're sitting there, and it was a long one. It was closer to two than it was one yard. But even so, the pass itself, that was one where the linebacker kind of tipped it. He was just past Gronk, was it?
Littleton was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, Gronk or White, I remember. But but even the pass itself was a little out ahead of the receiver, too.
Right.
In terms of the play being successful. I thought you'd run the ball well enough that you could maybe run the ball there. Maybe, you know, that offensive line I thought played very well. Maybe you give the offensive line a little kick in the pants and say, you know, hey, boys, now take this home, you know, take it home.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep. And then another big play in the first half was when they got to Brady, you know, a guy who hadn't been hit at all in the first two games of the playoffs. He fumbles.
Yep.
And thank God David Andrews is there to recover. So, I mean, there were a lot of plays just in the first half. So even though it was 3-0, I mean, there was a lot of significant plays in there. You have the missed field goal in there. You have a fumble, which they're able to recover. Mm-hmm. There was also that play on the sideline with Robert Woods, where great job by the Rams running up to the line of scrimmage and snapping it, because we didn't even really get a chance as an audience to see the replay. That's how quickly they did it. Quick look. They only showed it the one time, I believe.
Which is strange.
Right? And they just kind of moved on from it. And obviously the Rams didn't do anything with it. They didn't score in the half. But I didn't think he got both feet in.
I thought he did.
You did?
First, okay. My first reaction to it was exactly that. I was like, I thought the ball came in later than it did. And he went, but I looked at it, and it looked like he just a little puff of those, whatever the stuff that comes up off the asteroid. There was just a little
rubber tire,
right,
whatever
the
that
tire
is.
Shavings,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
A little puff of it, but it was close enough. And sometimes, even if you believe that it was a catch, you might force the worst case scenario. Maybe you force the Patriots to take a timeout or to throw the challenge flag in. Because,
oh, by the way, the Patriots burning through timeouts like they're nothing there. Yep. They have two in the first quarter they called?
Yep.
That's surprising.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind it as much in the first half if you start burning them in the second half. But it was, I think, I don't know if that
seemed like something the Rams would do, though. Like, it seemed like a young quarterback, young coach would be a little bit more surprised at what they were seeing, or late getting out of the huddle, or whatever it was. I was surprised they took two timeouts that early.
Yeah.
But still.
It's you don't know if it was Brady, because I know it looked like one time he was trying to check to something, and then there was a check on the defense, and he tried to check back, and I think he looked up at the clock and said, okay, let's reel this in. But you're right, using two and not, you know, in not really crucial situations, but again, Tom Brady's a perfectionist. If he thinks it's a thing to do, it seems to work out for him for most of the time. But you're right. You're scratching your head with both of those.
We have a ton to unpack from this game. The lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time. It's the Patriots' sixth Super Bowl title. They beat the Rams 13-3. A lot of crazy plays in the game. Really a crazy season if you think about it. Where they started, kind of where they were in the middle, and then how they finished. We have plenty to get to. Rob Gronkowski's future, Julian Edelman, Hall of Famer. All those topics are on the table for you and wherever you want to go with it today following another Super Bowl victory. 617-779-7937. Dale could not be sicker. He is sick as a dog. So it is Dale and Keefe with Steve DiAsi filling in here on Sports Radio WE.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
And there's the flash of the camera sparkle from the stands. Super Bowl 53 is underway from Atlanta.
Brady's pass. Ball in the air. And it's intercepted. It's picked off on his first throw by Littleton.
Tom Brady has a wet noodle for an arm.
Brady with all kinds of time. Now in trouble, and the ball's out. Recovered by New England.
Brady feeling the heat and had to get rid of it.
Gostkowski from 46 out.
No good.
It's over for New England this year.
Brady's pass to Allen. To lead to the chain.
Goff is in the gun. Winds up line drive throw. Broken up and complete at the 40-yard line. Big time hit right there by Patrick Chung.
Goff, and he is walled to his knees by Van Noy. Edelman again. His sixth catch.
Goff is in the gun. Gets the snap. Moves up. Got a block. Grab from behind. And it's a Hightower set.
Goff steps up. He's going for the big ball. To the end zone. Knocked out of his hands. Jason McCourty caught up in time to knock it out.
Brady in the gun, arches a pass down the near side, and over the shoulder, diving catch at the 5, Gronkowski, down to the 2.
First and goal. Sony Michel.
Goff is in the gun. Snapping a line drive pass down the near side. And intercepted. A leaping two-handed interception at the 5. Stephon Gilmore, the all-pro quarterback. The right-footed kick end over end. It sneaks in.
Yes!
And it puts the Patriots on top 13-3.
So here's Zerline, 48 yards.
And it will end it. No good.
Brady under center, victory formation, takes the snap, balls to an E, and that'll do it. The New England Patriots have won. The Patriots, their second Super Bowl championship in the last 3 years.
The dynasty continues.
Talabot is winning.
I am honored to say for the 6th time, we are all Patriots. And once again, the Patriots are world champions.
Tremendous job by our producer Jason Rossi putting together that Super Bowl 53 montage. The Patriots, once again, Super Bowl champion. Steve DiAssi in, filling in for a very sick Dale Arnold. 13-3, your final. And it is, to me, the two... I love how we can compare Super Bowls, by the way. Like, that's...
Yeah.
What other cities are comparing Super Bowls?
Hold on.
But
not only do you... But you have to name them. You can't just say, you can't just say, well, you know, the other Super Bowl. You say, oh, the third Super Bowl.
The third Super Bowl.
No. That was the second. Oh,
what's this one going to be called? The low-scoring Super Bowl?
Yeah, the...
Edelman game. What are you going to call this one?
The Edelman game.
Defense Super Bowl.
The defense? Yeah. The defense Super Bowl. Rossi, yeah. Come on. You put together a great montage, and then you have the worst name ever for
right.
that.
It's already catching on.
No, nope. It's not. Is it
it's
trending?
Trending. Oh, it's trending.
No, but trending. The two Rams Super Bowls are the two most improbable. Now, the first one, the actual game, they were 14-point dogs, greatest show on turf. The
right.
team had 2 MVPs on offense on that team.
Scoring 32 points a game back yeah. when teams weren't scoring. Nowadays, teams are scoring
yeah, right.
you had 2 or 3 teams, but back then, they weren't scoring that
and
much.
And you were just saying, there's the greatest show on turf. I mean, they had one of the coolest nicknames ever. You weren't going to beat them.
Yep.
And then this year, even though they were the favorite in the game, it's more how the season played out, and we were constantly comparing it to weaker Patriot teams. Mm-hmm. Again, that is a scale. Like, that is better than any, you know,
right,
recent
right.
Bills, Dolphins, or Jets team. But
right.
but compared to, you know, the 14 team, that was a tough opponent in the Super Bowl, but that didn't shock me. Like, the Patriots were loaded that year. The 16, I certainly picked them. The 04 team might have been the best team they've ever had. The 03 team was great. Like, there were all the wins, with the exception of the first one and this one, I don't think came as a surprise to many fans. This one was
agreed.
just remarkable. When they had to
right.
go on the road to Kansas City, I said, this isn't their year.
That
and
was
I'm
the
an
bigger,
idiot.
That,
I have egg on my face, Steve DiAssi,
no,
and
don't.
I'm here to admit it.
Well, at least you didn't let it affect your betting prowess.
No, that's true. So. By the way, yep. I'm glad you mentioned this. Cash it in for the Dale Keefe locks of the playoffs. We ran the table. Perfect 3-0.
Killed it.
Cash, cash, cash.
Yep.
You already cashed that ticket.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
I had my guy take care of it. I had my people take care
good.
Of it.
Good, good. So. Looking forward to that.
Yep.
And so so thank you, Shimetime, by the way, who's in today. We had to make sure that he was in today because he has been picking winners. He saw the board so well throughout the playoffs.
Wait a minute. That was a
Steve,
group effort.
So well.
That was a group effort. Those picks were all group
right.
efforts.
Okay.
That
well, was we're a, splitting up the money equally.
We are riding a heater together, Steve.
We are. What do you think, Steve, tomorrow
all right.
it's Bruins Islanders?
What?
You like the Bruins by a goal and a half or what?
Goal and a half. We are on a streak.
We are on a absolute heater right now. And right now we have $1,150 in the pot.
What's Shime's take on it?
Shime, what do you think? You like that? How are you seeing that Bruins game tomorrow?
I'm out on the Bruins game. Okay, I'd rather wait for Celtics in at Cleveland.
What about futures? Because the Patriots to go back to back, I think, are the fourth highest odds, right? Or third?
Long. Can we?
No, we can't.
Right now, Dale Arnold just got a little sicker listening
to
us.
He just drove off the road saying we're going to bet all of our money on the Celtics or the Bruins tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
No, he is. No, but this was an improbable run. And by the way, we'll talk about our victories and all of our spoils and how many pizza parties we can have.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna do that a little bit later on. Before we get to the phone calls on this, I just want to go over a few of the other second half plays. We went through a lot of the first half plays. Second half plays that stood out to me. And so the drive that the Rams finally got on the board, it was a 10-play drive. They went 42 yards. They had the ball for 4 minutes and 22 seconds. It was the first time all game that they had the ball for over 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Right.
How outrageous
absurd
is that?
And it was the first time the deepest they got was the 26-yard line.
They got and Jared Goff takes a terrible sack.
Yep.
Jared Goff reminded me of Lamar Jackson in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
He took a terrible sack. Dante Hightower, one of his two sacks. I thought he could have even been in the mix for MVP. But when you have a guy like Legatron, doesn't matter. So instead of a 44-yard field goal, it's a 53-yard field goal. He drills it. So now you got yourself a tie game. And at that point, you're like, man, I don't feel good about this game still. Like, it's 3-3.
Yeah.
At that point, I thought it was going to be either a sack fumble score, maybe a pick six. I thought the offenses weren't getting it done.
Right.
So I thought it was going to be a defensive score that was going to win the game.
I thought we were going to push our bet.
I did too. I'm like, thank you, Goskowski. Right. I really did. I thought we were going to push the bet.
You guys don't even know.
Were you losing your mind?
Right. Yes, I was losing my mind because with that 2.5 number that happened like the day after we placed the bet.
Yeah.
I know.
All right, we shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you're right. You're fine.
You're right. It was, but I at that point, I still looked at it and said, okay, well, at least the Patriots are moving the ball. If one of these teams is going to find a way to win this game, you got to go with the team that's moving the ball at least.
Yeah, they were able to pick up some first downs.
Right.
You know, the Rams weren't able to do that. So after it's 3-3, each team punts again. Then the Patriots get the ball on the 31 to start their drive. And this is where you got a couple of really nice Gronkowski catches. Edelman got involved with a big one as well. And by the way, I mean, Julian Edelman's performance, they couldn't cover him. He was he went for 10 for 141. It could have been even more than
on
that.
On 12 targets.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And it wasn't – at first it was – he was, you know, beaten – was it Robbie Coleman?
Robbie Coleman.
Dabney Coleman, whatever.
Dabney Coleman.
He was beating Dabney Coleman.
He was beating Vince Coleman out there.
For like a rented mule. And even – but then – there were a couple times they tried to double team him, and he still found the open spot.
He did. Aqib Talib took his chance at him. That's not a good matchup for Aqib Talib.
No, absolutely
at
not.
All.
But the thing with that Patriots offense, and we've talked about this before, they were amongst the first that did it. Those receivers have to make reads, and those reads have to be the exact same thing that Tom Brady sees, because you're not just sitting there saying, okay, you're going to run an 8-yard out. The play is designed, okay, well, you're going to run here, and if you see X, you're doing Y, and if you see Y, you're doing X. So there was nothing they were doing. Even when they put two guys on him, he was still finding a way to get into that open area.
Yeah, no, he was a real treat. And the way it was going, you said, this is the formula for him to be MVP of the game. Because Brady was not playing very well, and all the offense was Edelman. He was picking up key first downs. He was actually moving the ball down the field. And you said, unless somebody stands out defensively, and there was a handful of guys. We'll get to the Gilmore pick in a second, but I thought Van Noy looked good. I thought Hightower looked good. You couldn't really give it to Slater or Allen, but those guys were having good games as well.
If somehow Sony Michel ripped off another 30-yard run or whatever, and he got himself up to 140.
Yeah, because he kind of sealed the game for him at the end. Yes. He had a couple of nice runs. Yep. And my thought actually was, and I don't know why I think about this. This is kind of the idiot that I am. I'm like, I think the voting's already done. Like, I think a lot of these guys, you always hear stories about how they turn their ballots in so early.
Yeah.
So even if he ripped off two big runs, got over 100, he ended up with 94.
Right.
If he gets over 100 and the game's only touchdown, like, he should have been considered as well.
Yeah, you get up to 130 and then the people that are voting also look at what he did the rest of the playoffs, which he just tore it up. That might have been the case, but by the time it came down to it, I think it was pretty obvious that that was the MVP.
So Sony Michel gets the touchdown. They go up 10-3, and now the Rams get the ball. And this was actually a decent drive for them. This is when they started to move the ball. And you're like, all right, well, maybe the offense is going to wake up. We saw it happen in the Patriots-Chiefs game where the Chiefs did nothing until all of a sudden you couldn't stop them. And so they're moving the ball. They get the ball all the way down to the Patriots 27 at this point. And this is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what separates Brandon Cooks from the top tier guys and the next tier below with wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So the play that they throw it down there, Gilmore's on him, good coverage by Gilmore. But Brandon Cooks, and I'm not saying this because he's gone, I still would want him. I think he's a good receiver.
Yep.
But that play in the end zone that got broken up by Gilmore, I think Antonio Brown catches it. I think DeAndre Hopkins catches it. I think Julio Jones catches it. I think the top five receivers in the league, there's like two of those, but even the one that McCourty broke up earlier in the game, I think those guys just have a way. They don't let the ball hit him in the chest. They would reach out and pluck it, and I think they score. Brandon Cooks, though, we saw it last year at times in New England. That's not a play that he made. Great job by Gilmore. He was in the area, but I feel like that's what separates him from being an elite wide receiver.
And what those other receivers that you talked about do is they're that good where they can use their body to shield that defense, almost like a box out in when you're rebounding. He doesn't do that. He doesn't, and even the one in the back of the end zone, all he needed to do was turn his body a little bit and shield the go up and get it and shield the defender. Worst case scenario, you're getting a pass interference. So he doesn't do that as well as some of those receivers you talked about.
Now it's only a handful of guys that probably make that catch, but my point is a handful of guys do make that catch, and then so the very next play, pick.
Yep.
Patriots do a great job. They send pressure. They send two guys, and they did a great job showing the replay too. Where was it McCourty and Harmon, or I forget? They sent two guys. They couldn't pick up both of them.
Yep.
Goff just chucks it.
And
Goff just chucks it, and then
falling backwards.
Yep. Nobody was open there. Yeah. I mean, and I think that was also intended to Cooks once again, but that wasn't going to happen. Gilmore turns around, picks it off. And
one of the easiest picks of his life.
Exactly.
I mean, that was
really, right really was
floating, and he was untouched. And was,
I think he even said post game, like, I couldn't believe he threw it.
Right.
Like that was a terrible throw.
And those are those are the ones that are the eternity from when you know it's an interception to the time that you secure it. Because those are the ones that all of a sudden they go through your hands. That was that was too easy.
And then at that point, I mean, it's still 10-3, so the game's not over by any stretch. And so the Patriots then move down. They put together a really nice drive, get all the way down, and end up kicking a field goal. I was nervous. Snuck it in there. But 13-3, that's pretty much it. There was also that the series a lot of people were talking about.
The two penalties on the one
play. Yeah, the two penalties on the one play, and then whether to accept it or decline it. Romo was talking about it was a Gene Steratore, and they were kind of breaking it down. And I think the Rams did the right thing. I mean, at that point, you're playing the clock, or you're playing the downs, too.
The downs.
Like you need to, you can't, they were running out of timeouts.
I was trying to do the math after
the
game.
Yeah, right, it's tricky. It's tricky on the fly, it is.
But what I came up with was that, you know, had they taken it, and stop the Patriots from gaining any yards, because that would put the ball back on the 40-yard line, somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. What about 10 yards, yeah.
Yeah, well, 43-yard line, excuse me. So they were on the 33 when the penalties happened, and it would brought it back to the 43. Now you're looking at a 60-yard field goal, but that also means that for three downs, you have to not let them get any more, more yardage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get 10, 12 yards, now you got a reasonably manageable field goal. It was about the time and the downs there. If you gave them three downs, they could have brought the clock down to about 30 seconds, maybe.
Right.
You know, and hopefully they didn't. If you're the Rams, you're thinking, okay, well, what we need 30 seconds, and we need them not to gain any yards. I think probably made the right decision trying to force the issue with second down.
Yeah, no, I think they did too. And then at the end of the game, Patriots or the Rams have the ball, and so really I was just worried because we had them at -3, so it really became a very selfish thing. I thought the game was over, but if they got a crap touchdown at the end, kick the extra point, then you push, that's no good. But they bring out the field goal unit, Legatron, who I love, he misses the field goal, boom, game's over, 13-3. So we're trying to break it down all day here on Dale and Keith, and let's get to your phone calls now. Let's start things off with RJ in the truck. What's going on, RJ?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I gotta just chime in. I really enjoyed winning yesterday.
Yeah.
But that has had to have been probably the most boring Super Bowl I've watched my entire life. But I'm more of the offensive type of football. I get really excited when it's a high-scoring game. You know, it's a back and forth. And, you know, the AFC Championship game, I was actually a lot more nervous for that game. Even before going, you know, before the Super Bowl even started, like these past 2 weeks, I was more confident going into the Super Bowl than I was going into the AFC.
Was that a worse game?
I don't know you guys.
Was that a worse game than the Denver, Peyton Manning, Denver over Carolina? Was it a worse game than that?
It's probably on par with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was probably on par with that. That's a definite.
Yeah, but you had a guy that could barely even throw the ball.
No, that was right there. That was a dud. That was a 24-10 final. You know, Von Miller was the MVP of that game. Yep. I'm with him. I mean, I was not expecting necessarily that to be the first call. We're kind of flying high right now. They just won the Super Bowl, and that was a kind of a boring game. Kind of a dud of a game. I think locally, it's not a boring game because it's your team. Agreed. And it's close. But if you're not a New England fan or even a Rams fan, because as bad as they played for a while or as bad as the Patriots made them look for a while, you're in it. It was a one-possession game the entire way until the very end. So you're in it. You're on the edge of your seat. Every play matters. But we had this. I think you might have even been on with us, Steve, after that Rams-Chiefs game. And we did the extremes. Would you rather watch a 54-51 game or a 13-3 game? To me, not even close, 54-51. That's still a close game, but the ball's actually moving, and there's guys crossing that end zone. I enjoy that.
But my point in that was that you can actually have a game that has good offense and good defense. You know, 54-53 means there's very little defense being played. Those are teams just going up and down the field unopposed, and I get that, and that's fine, but it's the same reason I really don't care about the NBA All-Star game, because there's no opposition whatsoever, and I know there's some great defensive players in the NBA. That's a good point. You're right. There used to be more. You're right. Well, how about guys that actually try to play defense?
Okay, five.
I'm of the mind that you can still have some great offense and still have some defense being played. The idea of flag football doesn't appeal to me as much, but I'm also not one of those guys that says, give me that 3 yards and a cloud of dust. Whatever. I like smart, effective offenses, but I also like smart, effective defenses.
We got points!
Well, that's what I want, points. All right, we'll continue to break down Super Bowl 53. Julian Edelman was your MVP. We'll get into his performance and some of the other performances from last night. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keith with Steve D'Ossi, Sports Radio W.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Take Dale and Keith with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Just shut up! If you don't want to watch, then don't watch. Go watch the Raptors and the Knicks. Go do something else. But don't sit there for 4 flipping hours with your eyes glued to the game and say, oh, this is so boring, but I can't stop watching. Oh, it's so boring. Just shut the hell up. I mean, give me a break. If you don't want to watch it, then don't watch it. But don't watch the game and sit there and go, oh, I hate it. That's the worst. And you people that did that, you're the worst. The absolute worst. I don't want to hear any of that garbage. If you don't want to watch the game, don't watch the game. But don't sit there watching the game and saying, Oh, I'm so bored. I can't take it anymore. Give me a break.
Right. Who is that gentleman having a breakdown? Right. He was having a real kind of problem.
That'll be your boy, Trey Wingo.
Right. Oh, that's my guy.
That's a little extreme.
Trey Wingo needs to calm down. I don't know if he got some bad news off the air or what's going on with Trey Wingo.
Relax.
So now, if you're not enjoying something, you can't comment on it.
Just shut up.
Got it. So you didn't like the game. First of all, the Super Bowl is an event. It's the most watched event.
Yep.
All year long. It will be next year. It will be the year after that. That's just how it is. So everybody's watching it. So you can't comment on it, according to Trey Wingo, unless you loved it. So if you didn't
I think it was, you know, if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Oh, this is so boring.
It might get better, Steve. AFC Championship game, Chiefs offense was terrible. And then all of a sudden, fourth quarter, they're like, oh, yeah, this is how you play.
It also might be part of the...
Trey Wingo needs like a nap and a yoga.
Shut the hell up.
He needs to relax a little bit.
I disagree about that, but maybe it's a preemptive response to the barrage of social media. They'll be talking about how dull and boring.
Let social media get to you.
I hate it.
I know. I agree.
Trey.
But some guys do, and some guys try to get throw a preemptive strike out there for whatever reason.
I guess so.
That's an overreaction.
I think Trey needs to maybe not go on Twitter then. Like, if that's what he's so worried about. He's complaining about people complaining. Like, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
There's always the people who complain about people complaining. You're like, well, what's happening? You're just chasing your tail.
If you don't want to watch the game, don't watch the game.
He's going to throw his voice out. I mean, he is having a real bit of a temper tantrum. That's how I feel about
that
it.
That does sound like
I always have calm, measured reactions to things. He, meanwhile, Steve.
You have what now?
Calm and measured reactions.
Well thought out?
Yes.
Reasoned
is how
give
I
give me a break.
You know, those are some of the words that come to mind when I think of you.
Give me a break, he says. Come on. All right, let's go back to the phones here as we're talking about this game. Tony is on a cellular telephone. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty well. Pats just won the Super Bowl.
Hey, I noticed since Gordon went out, they started to commit to the run a lot more. And I'll tell you what, they stuck with it in the Super Bowl. It wasn't super effective for three quarters, but I'll tell you what, that last 8 minutes, that run game, I'll tell you what, they came big.
It was huge. They ran the ball all playoffs long. Sony Michelle didn't get to 100 in this game, but he got over 100 in both of the previous games. He got to 94 and 18 carries, which means 5.2 yards a carry. As a team, including Brady's kneel downs, they were 4.8 yards a carry. They ran the ball just a few times less than they threw it. So, yeah, that was a big part of it. And it's funny because they draft a running back in the first round. We were pretty surprised. I was very surprised that they did that. And then he got off. He was injured the first couple of weeks. Got off to a slow start. Some people kind of wrote him off, but then they kept going to him. And he was a guy that you could give the ball to between 18 and 25 times, and they used that to their advantage. You know, you looked at it. You said, "Well, they're not going to be a real running team, are they? Because they got Tom Brady." Well, the way this offense was, without having serious kind of perimeter wide receivers, the run game became so important. The offensive line is pretty dominant, we found out.
Very much so.
And that was a key to success, really, this entire run.
And what you didn't see is what they, for years, have used to either supplement or substitute for their running game was the screens. You didn't see that yesterday.
Yeah.
I think that's because they had the faith in their O-line, faith in their running game. So when you see a team doing those screen plays, That's basically a running play because your offensive linemen are pulling and your running back gets the ball out on the outside. It's basically a toss play with two guys out in front of you. They didn't need that. They didn't and quite honestly, they didn't run it as well as they have in the past for whatever reason. I don't know if James White's a great receiver, but I don't know if Deion Lewis was better at it or whatever. But they had such faith in their running game that they might have attempted one screen yesterday.
It was not much. Yeah, it really wasn't. Now, if I told you James White was going to have 9 total yards, I would have said there's no way they win. You know, because that would have been, after Edelman, I think James White would have been the next guy I would have tried to take out if I was the Rams defense. And they threw it to him once. Well, he caught one pass. They threw it to him four times. Brady had that one little quick little check down thing that didn't work out.
And I thought at first when I saw how bad the pass was, I thought, okay, he must have been trying to throw it around somebody.
He didn't. That was weird. Yeah, Brady had a few of those. Yeah. And he was able to get away with it because the defense was so good. The running game was solid. But James White really was a non-factor. So much of it was Edelman and Gronk.
Yes.
And, you know, those two guys hadn't played together in a Super Bowl for a long time, you know, because Edelman was out last year. Gronk was out the year before that. But going back to Edelman, I mean, 10 catches, 141 yards. He was huge. I think he definitely deserved the MVP. However, when a defense holds another team to 3 points, I feel like they should probably be represented somehow.
Agreed, except that it was spread out. You had Hightower with 2 sacks. You had Gilmore with a forced fumble and an interception. You had Van Noy making some very big plays.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You didn't have a Von Miller.
You didn't have a Von Miller.
That scenario. So it would be hard to do when you couldn't heap another award on the coaching staff because they came up with a great plan.
Right.
But it's
the fewest points allowed. I think, was it the Dolphins? The Cowboys beat the Dolphins in Super Bowl VI, 24-3.
Right.
But that's the fewest points ever allowed. There's never been a shutout.
That's when teams were averaging 17 points a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Three, they're like, hey, not bad. We'll take it. That's a good effort today. Yep. But Edelman's certainly deserving of it, and that's going to open up another whole discussion, too, with Edelman into the Hall of Fame. Nate Burleson, after the show, was like, convinced he was going in.
Yep.
A lot of the analysts are sort of picking that up. We talked about it even last week on Radio Row before he was Super Bowl MVP. So we can get to that as well. Let's go to Anthony in Mattapan. He joins us next. Hello, Anthony.
Yes, how you doing? First of all, Mr. D'Arcy.
Yes, sir.
It is a pleasure speaking to you on WEEI. And you know what, Mr. D'Arcy?
Yes, sir.
I'm a Patriot fan, but you know what? God bless you and your son. I don't like the Patriots to lose Super Bowls, but since we lost 2 to your son, I admire that.
Well,
I mean
quit kissing his ass. What is this?
Anthony, thank you very much. I appreciate you understanding that family comes
first.
Why
would you bring up the Giants Super Bowls today, Anthony?
Because Anthony's obviously... Anthony's obviously a solid family man, and he appreciates the sanctity of the family, all right? And by the way, Anthony, it's Steve. It's not Mr. D'Arcy. It's Steve.
Oh, yeah, you guys are buddies now.
Yeah.
All right, but...
We're practically neighbors. Anthony's from Mattapan. I grew up mostly in Rosendale, so we're practically neighbors.
Good for you guys.
I want to say to everybody, every Super Bowl is not going to be an offense explosion. And I will tell you this, the greatest Belichick moment was his defense. That's what did it.
Agreed. How about that? Anthony, great call. Well, after the first nonsense at the beginning, but great finish to that call. Is this Bill Belichick's greatest performance in a Super Bowl? 617-779-7937. Hang on to that. We'll get to that, and we'll get to more of your phone calls as hour number two rolls on here. Dale and Keefe, Steve D'Arcy is in Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.